Hi, everyone. This is Chip Knighton. I'm the communications manager for the VSCPA. I'm filling in for Emily Walker today while she's down at the General Assembly working to get tax conformity passed. I'm speaking with VSCPA member Vivian Page, CPA, who's here to explain where conformity stands and how we got to this point. Vivian has been a VSCPA member since 1986, and she currently serves as the vice chair of the VSCPA's Tax Advisory Committee. She's a former IRS agent, and she's been a tax practitioner for more than 30 years. She's a senior lecturer of accounting at Old Dominion University. And if you don't know her, she's deeply connected in state and local politics, in addition to her tax expertise. In other words, this topic was pretty much made for her. After we update you on conformity, we do have an ask for you, and that's to use our Voter Voice tool to contact your legislators about the importance of conformity. You can find that at vscpa.com/votervoice. So let's start out with some background. How did we get here, and why is conformity such a difficult issue this session?
First of all, thanks so much for having me today. I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about this process of conformity. Here we are in February trying to deal with an issue that seems to have been something we should have taken care of a lot earlier. But that's almost impossible in the way that Virginia operates. This legislation was passed late in 2017, December of 2017. The legislature went into session in January. And remember, our legislature here in Virginia is a part-time legislature. It only meets in the spring, in January, February, and is not sitting like Congress all year long. So this was kind of happened so suddenly at the end of 17. There was simply was no time to do all the background work that the legislature always does when it comes to taking on anything that affects revenues. So in the normal course of things, the legislature went out and had someone actually, the tax department did, to figure out what the fiscal impact to Virginia was going to be of this legislation. Since it was such sweeping legislation, we haven't seen anything like this since 1986. And I was practicing back in 1986, the last time we went through this. I had just left the IRS, as a matter of fact. But I had been practicing at that time, so I know that this is huge. The change in the legislation, the change in the tax legislation, was so big that Virginia took quite some time to figure out what the impact was going to be on our revenues. We didn't know that until we got to the report that was late in the summer. And that was about the earliest the legislature had any inkling of the effect of the new law was going to be. You add that on to, so our part-time legislature is going to take it up during the session, which is going on right now. But when you take into consideration that 2019 is an election year for the entire 140-member legislature, that being the case, this is the shorter session of the two sessions. They meet every year, but this year is the short year. There's a lot of bills to be taken care of, and there's a lot of jockeying that is going on as a result of the fact that we have an election in November. So that's the stage that we're dealing with when it comes to conformity.
Thanks for that, Vivian. That's real good information. But I want to back up a little bit. What is tax conformity?
Well, for tax conformity in Virginia means that we conform to federal law as of a certain date. First of all, it is a fixed date conformity where the legislature has to approve every year the date of which we will actually adopt federal law. For individual taxpayers in Virginia, the definition of conformity means getting to adjusted gross income, because adjusted gross income is the taking off point for Virginia income taxes for individuals. When it comes to businesses, conformity means do we conform to federal law all the way through taxable income? So those two things are very important to understand, that we've had conformity almost every year with federal law, but for individuals, it only means to AGI, which means you're not talking about itemized deductions, you're not talking about any exemptions or anything that comes after that. You're only talking about that as far as conformity is concerned. And for businesses, we're talking about taxable income.
With that in mind, what is tax reform and how is that distinct from conformity?
Well, most of what we're hearing about tax reform is more about policy changes that affect the numbers after adjusted gross income. So, for example, the federal law no longer allows you to deduct more than $10,000 in state and local taxes as an itemized deduction. Virginia then has to decide how they're going to handle that on their end, and that's a policy question. It's not a conformity question, it's a policy question in terms of how we're going to handle that. Are we going to allow, for example, itemized deductions on individual returns that when you didn't itemize on federal? All of those have to do with policy, which is really truly divorced from the idea of conformity. The two things get conflated because we as practitioners and certainly taxpayers tend to think about the net bottom line. But the net bottom line is not how Virginia operates. In honesty, never has. Virginia sets its own rules as far as itemized deductions are concerned. It sets its own rules in terms of how much the standard deduction is, how much the exemption is. All of that is Virginia's own rules.
With that in mind, the VSCPA had recommended last fall that the General Assembly completely separate the issues of conformity and reform. As part of your role on the Tax Advisory Committee, you kind of helped us craft that recommendation. So why did we decide to recommend to keep them separate?
Because policy questions are very difficult to get through a divided legislature. And conformity questions are ones that give certainty to taxpayers regarding the date we're going to roll forward, and therefore we are able to get that through as emergency legislation. So in order to get a bill passed that addresses conformity as quickly as possible, it has to have an emergency clause. And an emergency clause requires an affirmative vote of 80% of each house of the legislature. In the House, we normally have 100 members. We're down one member right now. 80% would be 79 positive votes. Yes, we want to pass it. In the Senate has 40 members, and so 80% of that would require 32 yes votes on the Senate side. That's what we need in order to have emergency legislation. Emergency legislation means that it takes effect upon the signature of the governor. If it is normal legislation, it takes effect July 1st. So conformity generally is taken up fairly early in the session by itself so that the Department of Taxation can get their stuff done, get their computers set up, all the software vendors can get their stuff done, and things can move smoothly as we move towards the normal filing deadline for individuals for May 1st. That was our reasoning behind trying to get conformity done separately so that we could actually give some certainty to Virginia taxpayers.
So we're recording this February 6th, early in the afternoon. Where does conformity stand right now?
Yesterday was crossover, and crossover means that all the bills that have passed one house go over to the other house for consideration. So, and vice versa, that's the way it works. So what we have left at this point is a bill in the House that will go to the Senate and a bill in the Senate that will go to the House for consideration. We also have left the budget. Neither one of the bills that are in the legislature have emergency legislation in them. There's no emergency clause in them, meaning that if they pass either of those bills, then the bills themselves would not take effect until July 1st. So that is a real problem. Even if it rolls the conformity date forward, it ends up being a major problem because we're talking about the fact that the law would not take effect until July 1st, even if it was retroactive to last year, 2018. So the House bill we have, the Jones bill, House bill number 2355, straight conformity bill, but a lockbox for the additional revenues that are coming in as a result, and put the money into a lockbox to be used only for refunds to taxpayers who are paying more money as a result of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. The Senate bill that we have left is 1372. It does conformity for 2018, puts the money in the lockbox, but basically most of the changes that it has are affecting 2019 returns, not 2018 returns. They want to put the money in the lockbox and then do some credits for individuals and for if they file jointly versus separately. There's no emergency clause in either of these bills, no emergency clause in either one of them, which means they would take effect as of July 1st. So we're looking at at individual taxpayers having to either do one of two things, either file an extension, and if they think they owe money, obviously you have to pay with the extension, or file amended returns after the effective date of July 1st. The third item we have is the budget. And the budget traditionally has had some language in it regarding tax conformity. And the amendments to the budget that I looked at last night, the House amendment removes all of the conformity language from the budget. The Senate amendment includes conformity language, but basically includes the language of the Senate bill. So we've got no really clean conformity options right now at all. No clean conformity options, meaning options, clean conformity without any tax reform associated with it. And the best we can hope for is that we will get something through the budget that would allow for the filing of returns and get a conformity date in there, which would allow us to do that. If that happens, we are looking at the reconvened session, so that would be sometime in April before we would know exactly what the General Assembly is doing.
So that's the current state of play for tax conformity. And as you all can tell, it's a pretty delicate issue. There are a lot of moving parts, a lot of different parties with their own interests and recommendations. We know how important it is that we get conformity passed quickly so that taxpayers and tax preparers have some degree of clarity for the 2018 filing season. And again, you can help us get this done by visiting vscpa.com/votervoice to contact your legislators. Vivian, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
To all our listeners, I hope you found this conversation enlightening, and we're continuing to work hard to get conformity passed as soon as possible so that we can all have a productive tax season. Thanks for listening.